Okay, let's get started with Shmuel Beis, Perek Chav Gimel, the second to last Perek here in Sefer Shmuel Beis, which is really the second to last Perek in all of Sefer Shmuel. As we know, Shmuel Aleph and Beis are really one Sefer. And here we're coming towards the end of the years of David HaMelech. We had in the last Perek David's Shira, one of the ten Shiros, as we mentioned. And now we have David's last words. That's the name of the Perek, Ve'elu Divrei David HaAchronim, the last words. What is this Perek about? Three parts to this Perek. First section are David's last words. He is alluding to something. He is saying something seems like a nevuah. We'll have to talk exactly what he is referring to. The first seven psukim of the Perek are talking about the sun coming out and the malchus of David HaMelech. That is part one of the Perek. Then starts off the list of David HaMelech's generals. Seems like many of the generals that we haven't heard of, generals that have helped him win battles. Does not say exactly when these battles were fought. Most of them were against the Plishtim. This person and that person all helped David win. And then in the middle, it gives one of the details of one of the battles, that David was at the battlefield with a couple of these friends, and David was very thirsty. David says, I really need a drink. And his generals say, okay, we can get you a drink. They go and risk their lives and go into enemy territory, into the Machane Plishtim, and they're able to get David a drink. And they bring it back to David, and David, for some reason, says, no, I'm not going to drink it, and he pours it out. That's the story. Chalila li Hashem. Woe to me. People risk their lives to get this water. I'm going to drink it. That's the story. Why did David spill it out? What exactly is going on there? That's the middle story. And then the parak ends off by continuing listing off all of the generals that have helped David. It lists off Avishai and Benayahu and others. Fascinatingly, is the last one on the list. The last one on the list is Uriah Hachiti. Uriah, as we know from Bathsheba, and that's the last one on the list, which the Medrash already talks about, that there are parallels in Divrei Hayamim, but Uriah is not the last one there. Okay, so this is the Perek. Again, interesting and intriguing Perek that we have to search a lot underneath to know exactly what the messages are as the last Perek here in Sefer Shmuel Beis. Okay, here we go. Ve'ela Divrei David HaAchronim. These are the words of David HaAchronim. There is a big discussion in the Rishonim whether David was actually a Navi or not. We know the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yadal, tells us there were 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'os. The 7 Nevi'os are listed in the Gemara. There's no controversy. The 48 Nevi'im, that's not clear. Rashi has his list and the Vilna Gaon has his list. And David HaMelech is a question. Whether David was included on that list. Because after all, we know David wrote Tehillim. Tehillim is not in Navi. Tehillim is in Ksuvim. That's a different category. We like to quote Rav Schechter, and Be'ikvei Atzon develops the idea on page Kuf Lamed Hey, if you want to look it up, about the Yesod, the difference between Tantora, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim in Tanakh. Nevi'im and Ksuvim are different. What's the message? So it's based on the Gemara in Megillah Dav Zayin. There the Gemara has the source for the idea of Tanakh. The Gemara says, based on a pasuk, Ksov Zos Zikaron Basefer, based on that pasuk, the Gemara darshins, Zos is reference to Torah. Zikaron is reference to Nevi'im. Basefer is reference to Ksuvim. How do each of those mean that? So Rav Schechter beautifully explains, the Nira Levarer, that Zos is from the word Zeh. Is from the word clarity. We know Moshe Rabbeinu, the Medrash tells us, Rashi quotes at the beginning of Parshas Matos, Moshe Rabbeinu prophesies with the language of Zeh. Zeh, Zeh, Zeh means you could point to it. Other Nevi'im were only Ko Amar, because Ko means the idea, but Zeh's clarity, like the Rambam talks about the four differences between Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu and other Nevi'im, Moshe has Zeh, Torah's Moshe. That's why Torah is referenced by the word Zos. Zikaron means Navi. Why? Because throughout Torah and throughout Tanakh, the word Zikaron doesn't only mean to remember only, but also lahazkir, to mention. Nevuah, what does the word Navi come from? Nivsvatayim, that means the lips. Nevuah was given over to an individual to give over that message orally to Am Yisrael. That's the message of Nevuah. All Nevi'im, any Nevuah, is given over to a Navi not to keep to himself and not to write it down, but to say it. That's what a Navi is, Nivsvatayim. That's why that's alluded to in the word Zikaron, which means lahaskir, to mention. And finally, the last word in the pasuk, Basefer, that teaches us Ksuvim, because that was given over to write. When Mordechai and Esther wrote the Megillah, they didn't write it in order to say, they wrote it to write it, to have Kedusha Sefer, and you can read it, okay, but the flow is Sefer. Ksov Zosi Karam by Sefer. So there's a difference between all three. As we mentioned in the last parak, there's a parallel between Shmuel Beis Parak of Beis and Tehillim Parak Yurches. But they each, once David wrote it down, when he wrote Tehillim Yurches, that was more to be written down, to be used for generations. Here, the fact that it's a Navi, so it's given over to be able to say over and to sing to Klal Yisrael. So here, in the first Pasuk, that's all background to the first Pasuk, the Elu Divrei David Achronim. These are the words of David, the last words of David. What does that mean? The last words of David. Rashi says the word Dibur means Nevuah. First Rashi on the Perek, Nevuas David Achronim. Rashi says he's a Navi, right there. The Rambam in one place argues with that, but Rashi here and the Targum here clearly says that this is a Nevuah. The first couple of Psukim here, these seven Psukim, are all a Nevuah. David's last Nevuah. Last Nevuah. The Radak here says, it doesn't call it a Nevuah, he just says it's praise. Praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then it relates to the previous parak, which is also a praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Abarbanel, though, gives a different shot. The Abarbanel says, no. He quotes Rashi in the Targum, he quotes the Radak, and he says, I don't think either of them are correct. These are David's last words. What does the Pasuk say? It's his last message. He's giving a message. He's looking back on his life. He says, just like Moshe did and Shmuel did and so many of our greats did, he's looking back on his life and saying, this is one I want to leave Klal Yisrael with. This message. The Acharei Shlamaso Kasav Miu HaMesader Oso HaSefer. At the end of a book, you describe a little bit about yourself. Umebrezecha Shafti Ani, says the Abarbanel. She David Biziknuso Sider Sefer Tehillim. Lahan Haga Hamis Bodedim Betfilo Sayem. The Acharei Shlamaso Kasav Miu HaMesader Oso HaSefer Umi Asher Kibetz V'Chiber. Who wrote all of this? Let me tell you a little bit about myself. And that's what he says here. He says, I'm not from the psukim that we're going to read. Say, I'm not from a royal family. I wasn't born into this. Hashem chose me. Hashem lifted me up. He gives a little history about himself. That's exactly what this is about. And he talks about the difference between Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah. The Abarbanel goes through the psukim here. But that's the Abarbanel's pshat of these first few psukim. It's David's last message that he is giving. We'll see what's discussed in the last parak. But that's it. So here we go. Let's read the parak. Ve'elo divrei David achronim, ne'um David ben Yishai. These are the words of David ben Yishai, une'um ha'gever, hu kam ol. And it's the words of a man, hu kam ol. Unusual word phrase to translate. We'll get to the drushos in a minute. The one that was lifted on high, let's say by God. Mashiach Elokei Yisrael, the anointed one, Yaakov, the anointed one. From the God of Yaakov, Ne'im Zimiros Yisrael. Which, by the way, that is David HaMelech's nickname. The sweet singer of Israel. It comes from his own words. That's what David calls himself. I'm a singer, right? Tehillim. He recognized his power. I am the sweet singer of Israel. Ne'im Zimiros Yisrael. There's even a medrash that says that we know not all of Tehillim was authored by David. There were some earlier songs. Avraham wrote some of the songs. Adam Arishon Moshe. Right? Tefillah LeMoshe Ish Elokim. Right, some of the prakim in Tehillim, Livnei Korach, right, but David gets the credit. Why? Says the Medrash in Koheles Rabbah. Afal pisha asara b'nei Adam, amru sefer Tehillim, even though there were 10 authors altogether, mikulhon lo namar al shmosam, ela al yidei David melech Yisrael. Now, David gets the credit. Why? Mashlo mashlo ma'adav adom. The Medrash says, there's a mashal, there's a group of men that are singing to the king, that are giving all of these praises. Amar amelech kulchem ne'imim. You're all good. Kolchem chasidim, kolchem mishubachin, lomar himnon lefanai. I think you're all great. El ish ploni yomar ade kolchem. You know what? Let him say it on behalf of all of you. Shlach lama shekolo arev. His voice is sweet. Doesn't mean literally he had a great voice. Doesn't have to mean that. It means that what he stood for. Kach b'shasha b'kshu asara tzadikim, lomar sefer tehillim. Amar lemakadosh baruch hu, kolchem ne'imim chasidim mishubachim. El David yomar ade kolchem. Lama shekolo arev. How do you know kolo arev? The Medrash quotes our pasuk. Kadu dechsiv ne'im zimiros Yisrael. These three words are the source for why David HaMelech gets to write to Tehillim. Right, that's these three words right here in the end of Sefer. The end of Sefer Shmuel Beis. There was an unbelievable small thought that I saw in the name of the Shemi Shmuel that he quotes here, that this pasuk says, Nu'um David ben Yishai, these are the words of David, and the Nu'um of the one who was lifted up, who was the Mashiach. Meaning, David's saying that I tried to remain the same throughout my life. When I was David ben Yishai, and when I was anointed king of Israel, I tried to stay the same. I didn't try to let it get to my head. As we know, throughout his life, throughout the Sefer, we spoke about the Anava, the humility of David. And the Shem Yishmuel says, if you look at the name David, Dalet Vav Dalet, right? So what do you see? Dalet stands for Dal. Dal means poor and lowly. That's what Dal stands for. So Dalet, David started off as lowly or nothing, just the son of a farmer. And then Vav, what does the Vav symbolize? The Vav is always symbolizes connected events. That symbolizes David's life. This happened, then that happened, then that happened, and then that what happened after everything happened? He's still the Dame Dalet. He's the same Dal. The same place where he started off. David didn't change. He starts off Dalet. He ends off Dalet. With everything that happens in the interim in his life, he's still David. That's the name of David signifies who he was in life. When he was young and when he was old. Okay, there's a lot, again, these phrases for Pesukim are jam-packed. Chazal pick up on this. Who come all? What does that phrase mean? The Gemara in Moed Katan Darshins, he was the one that lifted up the ol here from the word toeles, prophet, of tshuva. David was the one that laid the groundwork for anybody doing tshuva in the history. We know this whole Sefer is about David's tshuva and punishment and feeling bad. Who come all shall tshuva? Moed Katan Tezayin says David was the one that started it. Following, obviously, Yehuda, who did it before him, his ancestor, but David was making all of tshuva. He was the unique one. That's one drasha, Chazal Darshan, on this word. The tour quotes another drasha. All Ayin Lamed is Gematria, 100, 70 and 30. So, the tour in Simon Mambav quotes Rav Natrunoi Gon. David HaMelech, there are other midrashim that argue, David HaMelech was the one that enacted 100 brachas a day. Mea brachas b'chol yom. Why? Who kam all? This ayin lamed b'gematria meyahave. Ki b'chol yom, there was some type of plague going on. 100 people kept dying every day. V'lo hayo yodid. David didn't realize, what's going on here? Why are there 100 people dying every day? Until he saw Baruch HaKodesh, we need to be more connected to God. He was mesakein 100 brachas. He was hukam. He lifted up the 100 brachos, and in that way connected us to Hashem. So many times during the day, right? The Rambam writes at the beginning of Hilchos Brachos that the purpose of Brachos is to connect us to Hashem throughout the day. That's who come all. Okay, let's continue. Mashiach, okay, Yaakov, Ne'im, Zimiros, Yisrael. Right, he is the singer. Rav Soloveitchik writes in many places, one of them is in a Yahrzeit shir, about Psukei de Zimra, that almost all of our davening, as we know, is from David HaMelech. Why? Because who are we to make up our own davening? Who are we to come to God and approach the infinite, you know, by ourselves? We could only do that through our ancestors. Our ancestors, David HaMelech, who was a Navi, who had Ruach HaKodesh, he davened and he created tefillos, so we use his words to praise God. And we say it every single morning. What do we say in Baruch Sha'amar? U'bishirei David avdecha nahalelcha. Through David's tefillos, that's our matir. That's what allows us to daven. That's what we start off. That's why the Vilna Gaon, even others say that maybe not Mizmar Shir is later. You start off with Baruch Sha'amar, or right, the Ashkenazim, right? Mizmar Shir is just an introduction, not the Nusach Sfarad, Hodu later. The Gra always said Baruch Sha'amar first. Why? Because that's the Matir. U'bishivei David Avdecha Na'alcha, almost everything we say comes from Tehillim. Again, there's a lot more, but let's continue. Says the Pasuk. Ruach Hashem Diber Bi. David says now in Pasuk Beis. Ruach Hashem, we did one Pasuk. We got to move to Pasuk Beis. Ruach Hashem Diber Bi. The Ruach Hashem spoke in me. Umilaso aloshoni. His words are on my tongue. Amar Elokei Yisrael. Li Diber Tzur Yisrael. The Rock of Israel spoke to me. Moshel Ba'adam. Tzadik Moshel Yiras Elokim. Again, a lot of drushes about this. Go with Rashi. Rashi says, Hashem made me a Moshel Ba'adam. I'm not really a ruler over men. Hashem chose me to be the ruler. Tzadik Moshel Yirat Elokim. Because I have Yiras Hashem, that's why he chose me. Pasuk Dalid, Uka'ar Boker Yizrach Shamesh, and like the morning and the shining sun, Boker Lo Avos, a morning without clouds, Minoga Mimatar Desha Aretz, from there was no rain. The rain that was on the grass overnight, it's like it rained overnight, and now there is some moisture. The dew comes out, and it is a beautiful morning. What is this a mashal for? Most assume this is, he's saying his malchus. Malchus based David. David HaMelech's malchus is shining. Ki lo kein beisi imkel. Ki bris olam samli. This is not like any other malchus. This is forever. This is eternal. David recognizes that Hashem promised him the malchus. And through his descendants. The Rambam writes this in Hilchos Malachim, and the Ramban writes this in Parshas Vayechi. That once David became the Melech, that's it. Nobody else can become. The Ramban has a long piece, much discussed Hanukkah time, on the Pasuk Lo Yasser Shevet Miyehuda. That's where the Ramban has his famous comment that the Hanukkah story has a tinge of sadness to it. Why? The Chashmonaim, they won the war, but they were Kohanim. And yet they became the Malachim. Says the Ramban, they should have won the war, beat the Yavanim, and then found somebody from Malchus Beis David. You can't be the king if you're not from David HaMelech's family. And therefore the Ramban says, unbelievably, that's why the Hasmonean dynasty died out, the Chashmonaim, because they weren't supposed to be the king. They violated the Isser of somebody being the king besides David HaMelech. The Rambam doesn't go that far. The Rambam in Hilchos Malachim says, you know, we should always be from David HaMelech. What's the simple answer of the Chashmonaim? There was nobody else. There wasn't anybody from Malchus Beis David to step to the plate. So that's why the Chashmonaim did it. The Ramban's the only one that gives a little sense of sadness, puts a damper on the Hanukkah story. But most others, no. But the Rambam does quote this. In Hilchos Malachim, Kivan shenimshach David zacha bekesser Malchus. Once David was anointed, and we already saw in this Sefer, he was anointed three times. Originally, after some Shvatim were under him, after everyone, zacha lekesser Malchus, v'hari ha-Malchus lo ulubanav ha-zacharim ha-ksherim ad olam. And it's his forever. Shenemar kitzacha yien nachon ad olam. V'lo zacha el ha-ksherim, avish lo zacha el-ksherim, lo tikaris ha-Malchus mizera David lo olam. Hivtichu HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'kach. Hashem promised him, it's not going anywhere. It's staying with David, and that's what David means by this pasuk. Ki bris olam somli. Right, he gave me an eternal covenant. Arucha bakol, set by all. What does arucha bakol mean? So Rashi says it means it refers to the Torah. As long as I'm connected to Torah, it's going to continue. Arucha bakol. Others say it means that it was arucha. It was set by other Nevi'im. So therefore, once a Navi says something, it's forever. Ushmur, and it is guarded. Ki kol yishiv, kol chefetz, ki lo yatzmiach. Nothing, no other dynasty will rise up. The Malchei Yisrael, which are going to come up, that's not going to be forever. That's going to be a temporary dynasty that will not be a real dynasty. Ubelial, kakotz munat, kalam. The others will be like thorns. The Mitzudas David here says, like Yeravam, they'll be like thorns in our side, but that won't be a real Malchus. Again, a lot of drushes here in Chazal, but we're going to move on. So that's the first part of the parak. Then, Elo Shemos HaGiborim. Then the list starts listing off the Giborim, the warriors that fought with David. There is a parallel list in Divrei Hayamim, Aleph, Perek, Yud, Aleph, but there are major differences between the lists there and the lists here. The Abar Benel and the other Mefarshim and the Malbim go through all the differences. That's not for us right now. There are some names written there, some different names, but either way, these are the lists of the Giborim. First one on the list, Ela Shimosa Giborim Shelo David, Yoshev, Basheves, Tach Kamoni, Rosh HaShalishi. These are all adjectives. They sit in the Sheves, in the Sanhedrin, Tach Kamoni, wise, Hu Adino Ha'etzni. Who's Adino Ha'etzni? So some say, Rashi says, that all of these words are referring to this man, Adino Ha'etzni. What does it mean? That when he's learning, the Gemara says in Moed Katan, he's like Adin, he's very flexible. He's moving around all over the place, he's trying to struggle and get into the Torah. But when he is fighting a battle, he's also a warrior, he's strong as a piece of strong wood. Etzni, from the word eitz. So Rashi says it's describing him. Other Mefarshim say, Rashi also says here, maybe all of these are adjectives about David. How he's wise, how he's strong, how he's able to overcome his enemies. But either way, there are all different pshatim. The Radak does quote one opinion that this is really Yoav, which is amazing, because in all of these 30-plus warriors listed here, Yoav's not on the list. Maybe that's because of all the history that he has with David, and David was still mad at him after killing Avshalom and killing all the other people that he killed, and Avner against David's Ratzon. But he's not on the list. So some say, the Medrash says that this is, Adino Etzni is Yoav. That's what the Radak quotes. But then it quotes others, Elazar ben Dodo, a whole list of people who helped David defeat the Plishtim. Let's move on now to the one where there's some action. So what happens? The Plishtim are surrounded at one time, Pasuk Tezvav, David has a tremendous taiva. Oh, I wish I had some water. I am so thirsty, David says. Three of the strong ones went into the Plishtim. They got David some water. They brought it back to David. And all of a sudden, David refuses it. And he pours it out to God. What's going on here? What happened? And he says, no, chas v'shalom, I'm not drinking this water. Says the Abarbanel. Says the Malbim. He was very thirsty. But you know what he says? And this is the Gemara also. Rashi quotes the Gemara. They risked their lives. David says, you did so much just for me. Now, I'm going to give this to God. I'm not going to take what you put into this action. There's so much there. There's so much value there. I don't want to take this myself. I'm going to use this to pour it out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's even a Yerushalmi that says it was Sukkos. So it was like a Nisach HaMayim. He was pouring water. He didn't really have a Mizbeach, right? But he was pouring water. So he poured it out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of the amazing risk that was taken by these people. The Gemara, though, in Baba Kama, Daf Samach Aleph, has a totally different shot of what this Gemara means on a deeper level. And the Radak says it is very far from the pshat. Very far. But it's Chazal. Chazal tell us at the end of Perek Hakone, Samach Amabez, that really when it says David was thirsty for water, he was thirsty for Torah. He had a Shaila. He had a question to ask. And there was no Sanhedrin there. And these three great Giborim ran back to find the Sanhedrin to ask the question. What was the question? The question was that all of these, the Plishtim were hiding in big stacks of straw. Big stacks. And the question is, David wanted to know, am I allowed to burn down these stacks in order to find the Plishtim, in order to fight them? Meaning, this is other people's property. Am I allowed to save my own life by damaging other people's property? That's what the Gemara says the question was. And they found, they came back, and the answer given in the Gemara, based on Psukim here, is that usually not, but you're the king. You can do whatever you want. Okay, there's another day of what the question was, but that's the question. There's a huge discussion in the Mefarshim there. What kind of question was that? Of course you could burn down. Your life's in danger. This is not one of the big three. Of course you could do it. So most Rishonim say, David's not asking, am I allowed to burn it down to save my life? The question is, am I going to have to pay for it afterwards? Of course you could burn it down. Pikuach nefesh. But the question is, if you have to save yourself by hurt, let's say you ran into somebody's property to save your life and you break the lock on their door, do you have to pay for that afterwards? You did it to save your life. That's what he was asking. And they said usually, yes, but you're the king, so you could do whatever you want. But either way, that is a discussion in Baba Kama Daf Samach based on these psukim that really there was a halachic issue here that David was bothered by. And they said, and so when David gets the water back, he says, Chalil Ali. And then he says, maybe I'm the king, but I'm still not going to use it. You got to work it out. But those were the giborim that were used there. And again, as I said, the Radak says that's rachok ma'od miderech hapshat. David's going through his warriors here. What are you talking about? A halachic discussion. Okay, we continue with more warriors that are said until the end of the Perek. There are many warriors said. Just to pick up one of them, in Pasuk Chaf, the warrior is named Binayahu ben Yehoyada ben Ishchayel Rav Pa'alim Mikavtzeel. Right, this person, he was Hikash Ne'ariel Moav, what some say that this refers, he was the strongest one in the times of any of the Bati Migdash, because Ariel is a name for the Beis HaMikdash, so maybe this is an allusion that he was so strong more than anybody later on. But what's interesting is that there was a great rabbi in the 1800s, named Rav Yosef Chaim, great Sephardic rabbi, and he named all of his Sfarim based on this Pasuk. Right, let's go through it. Binayahu, Ben Yehoyada, there are two great Sfarim on Agadita, named the Benayahu and named the Ben Yehoyada. Right, it was written by the Rabbi Yosef Chaim. His tshuva, his halachic sefer, is the Ben Ishchai. His tshuva sefer is tshuvas Rav Pa'alim. Right, every phrase of this pasuk is our names of his svarim. He writes in the Hakdama of the Ben Yehoyada, he writes, you should just know, all my svarim are totally written not to give me honor. Kol kavanasi b'chibur zeh, v'gam b'kol ha'chiburim shebekdusha, asher yizakeni Hashem yisberach l'chaber, that Hashem gave me this chus. It's all b'dechilu rechimu liachei shem yudkei b'vavkei v'kol machshava v'kavana v'diber shem neged resono. Anything in here that Hashem doesn't like, batel mavutel. It should be nullified. I'm mavatel it right now. You should know it's hakol hulasos nachas ruach lefanav yisbarach. But he named his sefer Yosef. His name was Yosef Chaim. He picks this pasuk to name all of his svarim. And then we have all the other ones mentioned. And as I said, the last one on the list is Uriah Hachiti. That's 37th. The problem is, even though the parak ends off by saying these are the 37, if you do the list, it's less. It's like 31. 30 or 31. So why does it say 37? Maybe not all of them. These are out of, the 37. Some suggest also, why is Uriah last here? And in Divrei Yamim, he's not last, right? Maybe because that once, what are you mentioning Uriah for? You can't bring Uriah up, David. Come on. That's not, you can't bring him up, after what happened. So maybe once Uriah mentioned, stop. Right? The Navi stops the Perek, and he's not, we don't even go further. And that might even lead to the last Perek, which, you know, we would think David, the Sefer about David HaMelech, Shmuel Beis, basically, that's David HaMelech Sefer. We would end on a high, we will see, we don't end on such a high. We'll see that there is a tragedy that strikes in the last Perek. We'll see, the pasuk that we say in Tachanun is coming up, Tsar Li Ma'od, right, that's the pasuk from the last Perek here in Shmuel Beis. Beis Hashem will pick up with that next time when we discuss the last Perek in Sefer Shmuel Beis.